John the Baptist said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Jesus Christ said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand." Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Both John the Baptist and Jesus preached that the kingdom of heaven was near. But there are many people today who say that that kingdom still has not been established, that it was not really near in John the Baptist's day, that it was not really at hand when Jesus spoke those words. There are millions of people who say that the kingdom of God has yet to be established. And this is what we're going to look at today. And the passage that we're going to first look at is John 18, verse 36. Let me strongly encourage you to open your Bible to John 18, and we're going to read and talk about verse 36. Now, when we look at this question, we're talking about the issue of what is oftentimes called premillennialism. That means the idea or the doctrine that Jesus will return someday and that he will be an earthly king over the political empire of Israel, and as a matter of fact, he will reign over the entire earth as a civil ruler, as an earthly king. This is the idea that many people in the world today believe. And what I want to do right now is to read to you a few sections from a book on this topic. This book is entitled The Millennial Kingdom. It was written by John F. Walvoord. Now, John F. Walvoord was a staunch premillennial writer. He taught and he believed in the idea of the thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth. Let me read to you a few things that he said about this doctrine. He says, first of all, that the reign of Christ in the millennium will be a rule over the entire earth. Now, the idea says that his throne is going to be located in Jerusalem, but he's going to rule over the entire earth. He says, secondly, his government will be absolute in its authority and power. Now, notice what he's saying here, folks. He is saying that Jesus is going to be a civil ruler over this political national empire, and that he is going to have his own government. Now, that's not just a spiritual government. That is a political system. That is a nation, just like we have nations on the earth today. Now, what does he say that the world is supposed to be like during this time? Well, one of the things that he says will happen is that the majority of men will be saved during this time. Well, do you remember that Jesus talked about the people that will be saved and the people that will be lost? And Jesus plainly says that the majority of people will be lost. In Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said that few will find the way to eternal life, and many will go in the way to destruction. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. So we know that this man is wrong about this claim that when Jesus returns, most people will be saved. Secondly, he says that the curse on the earth will be lifted. That goes back to Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that the Lord cursed the ground. And because of that curse, we have all kinds of weeds and we have all kinds of problems. This man says that that curse will be lifted. And as a result, we will have general prosperity on earth. We will have better health. We will have more food. We won't have work problems. We will not have the poverty that we have today. And add on top of that, the idea in this teaching that when Jesus comes and supposedly sets up his kingdom, that there will be no more war. There won't be any kind of international conflict. War will be at an end. Now, folks, if that sounds appealing, I can understand why. I'd like to live in a world where you didn't have the problems that we face. It would be nice to live on the earth without the problems of disease and poverty and war. But is this what the Bible says? You see, that's the question. It's not whether this appeals to us, because obviously that kind of world would appeal to anybody. But the whole question is this what the Bible actually teaches about the kingdom of Christ? Now, that's why we want to turn right now to John 18, verse 36. The book of John, chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus is answering Pilate here. Now remember that Pilate is a Roman official. He is a Roman governor. He is interested in politics, not religion. He is concerned about power, not spiritual matters. And so we find a contrast here between Jesus, who is the spiritual leader, and Pilate, who is a Roman earthly official. Notice in John 18:36 that Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not an earthly empire. My kingdom is not of that nature." He's talking to Pilate, and he's in essence telling Pilate, "Look, my kingdom is not the kind of kingdom that you're in. I'm not the kind of king that you are." Jesus is saying to Pilate, "Look, you have an administration. You're in the government. You make all kinds of decisions about temporal, earthly affairs. You settle all kinds of disputes between people over earthly matters. That's not the kind of king that I am." Do you remember that the Bible says in John 6, verse 15, that the people tried to force Jesus to be a king and he wouldn't do it? The Bible says they tried to take him by force to make him a king, but Jesus left and he went into a mountain by himself alone. John 6, verse 15. Now, if Jesus had come to be a king, like Pilate was a king, or if he came to be a king, like many people, including the writer that we just quoted, said that Jesus actually is going to be, then why would he refuse to be a king on that occasion? Do you remember also that there was a man that came to Jesus? In Luke 12, verse 13, who wanted Jesus to settle an argument between this man and his brother over an inheritance. This man wanted Jesus to go and talk to his brother so that this man would divide the inheritance with him. And do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Now that's Luke 12, verses 13 through 15. Again, if Jesus had come in order to be a civil ruler, if he had come to be a king exercising political earthly power, then why didn't he step in and make that decision? It's because Jesus never came to be that kind of king, and he's certainly not coming again to be that kind of king. He tells Pilate plainly here, "Look, my kingdom is not like your kingdom. I'm not the kind of king that you are. My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus said, "If I had the kind of kingdom like you're in, Pilate, if I had the kind of power that you have, then I would order my servants to fight. I would have a military at my disposal. I would have soldiers that I would order around to protect me at all times and at all cost." But he said, "That is not the kind of kingdom that I have come to establish." So John 18, verse 36 is absolutely clear in telling us the kind of kingdom that Jesus came to establish. Now, did he establish that kingdom? Well, the next passage that we want to look at answers that question. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 13. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13. Did Jesus establish the kingdom, or is it yet to be established? Look at what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. He said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who," that is God, verse 13, this is Colossians 1, verse 13, "God," that is who, "has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So when these people were saved, when these people were baptized into Jesus Christ, they were delivered from darkness. They were delivered from the power of sin, the power of darkness, and they were translated or transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son, that is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So did the kingdom of Christ exist in the first century? Had it been established? The answer is yes, because these people were in it. It wouldn't make any sense for Paul to say that these people were in the kingdom if the kingdom had not even been established. So the whole idea of the kingdom being something in the future, the whole doctrine that says that the kingdom has not been established, but that it will be established sometime in the future, goes against what the Bible says here in Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Paul said this almost 2,000 years ago. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So Colossians 1, verse 13, by itself shows that the kingdom was established and that the kingdom is present today and not something that is just out there in the future. But let's look at another passage. This one is in Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation chapter 1. And I want you to notice what John writes in Revelation 1, verse 9. Now, the interesting thing about this passage is that many people go to the book of Revelation to try to predict the future. When they look at the book of Revelation, they try to use that book to say that there will be a future earthly kingdom, a future earthly reign of Christ. And it is ironic that in the opening words of this book, John says that the kingdom is not future. He said that he was in the kingdom, which can only mean that the kingdom had already been established and that the kingdom was in existence when John wrote this book. But let's read Revelation 1, verse 9. John said, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." What does John say about himself here? He said, "I am your brother." Now he's writing to the seven churches of Asia, and he said, "I'm your brother. I'm your brother in Christ, that is, and I'm also your companion in tribulation, and I'm also your companion in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." John says, "I am in the kingdom." So Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 also tells us that the kingdom was in existence in John's day almost 2,000 years ago. Folks, the facts are these. The kingdom is the church. The kingdom was established in the first century. When Jesus comes again, he's not coming to set up an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem from which he will rule the world. When Jesus comes back, the dead will be raised. The great judgment will occur. Then all souls will go either to heaven or hell, and the Bible says that the earth will be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Now, let's look at one final passage on this point. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and I want you to notice what the Bible says will happen at the end. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, is the chapter that many people call the resurrection chapter of the Bible. It talks about the great resurrection day. And what will happen in that day? In 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 24, the Bible says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." When Jesus comes again, he will not set up his kingdom. The Bible says he will deliver the kingdom to God.